Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me on another episode of Ask Sharifa Videocast. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I have an amazing guest for you today. If you have tuned in daily, like I know you have, to the Roundtable Talk Show, you will recognize today's guest. But today we have an opportunity to sit down with her and have a one-on-one conversation about who she is, what she does, and what's going on in her world. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and share this show, because friends don't let friends miss out on Ask Sharifa Videocast, especially not when we have such an amazing guest. I am speaking today with Dr. Lisa Pion Berlin, and we're going to discuss her career at Parents Anonymous. Good afternoon, Dr. Lisa. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excited to be here with you. When we spoke on the Roundtable Talk Show, I had so many questions. I wanted to know more information, but we ran out of time. We didn't have the opportunity. So I'm just grateful that we have you here today.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are and what you do.
Okay. Well, most people call me Dr. Lisa because they can't pronounce my last name. I'm a PhD social worker. I am also a licensed clinical hypnotherapist. So I have a clinical practice where I help people deal with any underlying issue they have through a very effective technique. I have been the president and CEO of Parents Anonymous for 29 and a half years. I'm married. I have two wonderful adult children, Jeremy and Emma, who are in the arts, and I've been married for 40 years. We're headquartered in Los Angeles, California. And my whole life goal has been to help people. How can I help people? Wherever they're at, how can I support them in their personal empowerment journey? It's not my journey, it's not your journey, and for everybody, it's different. And for parents in particular, they're not regarded as people first. They're regarded as, why is your kid acting out? What's the matter here? Why isn't this happening? And parents are so blamed and shamed that they don't want to talk to anybody. And they're afraid to even ask for help. And we have an expression at Parents Anonymous, it's been around 51 years, asking for help is a sign of strength. And keep asking for help, because there are many ways you can ask for help. And if you're dissatisfied or don't feel it's helpful, then try something else. But during COVID and during this pandemic, which is ever growing in California and nationwide, we all are feeling the stress, the pressure, the angst, the uncertainty, the worry. And with our kids at home and school's not open and work is calling you back, but daycare is not open and there's no after school program, how do you balance all these things? So this is a totally, in our lifetime, very few people live through the, who are alive today, live through the 1918 pandemic and what that meant to us and our lives and our souls and our well-being is just phenomenal.
Wow, you gave us a lot of information and a lot of different points that I want to touch on, but because of necessity or what's going on in the world, I want to key in on the fact that you've been married for 40 years. I have seen more arguments, more breakups, more divorces in the last 4 months than I probably have in my 44 years, because people are going through it. It's been one thing after another. And it's one thing to say, oh, it'll be okay. You know, things will get better, but people are still going through it. Is this just my imagination or is this something that you're seeing as well?
I'm seeing that as well. I mean, what I've said to people is that whatever issues you had before the pandemic are just being exacerbated. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're not going away, and the help that's out there might be very limited. So you might have been struggling in your relationship and now you're locked up all the time with this person and the argument is just escalating. And to seek counseling or help, you can call the national helpline that we have, but the immediate day-to-day is driving that angst and that the problems ones have all the time. And if you can't step back and you can't get away from it, and you can't move through it to the other side, yes, people are making decisions that are life-changing during a very life-changing time. One of the advice I might give people is slow it down a little bit, because the problems you had are not going to go away, and breakups are terribly emotional and exacerbated in this economic crisis we're having. How can you maintain two households? How can you do this and that? Children are involved, maybe you're not. But people might be saying, hey, I'm done. I mean, I put up with a lot of things in this relationship and I'm done. You know, COVID has made me see the light. So I see this clear way to the end, which is I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. This doesn't fill my soul. This doesn't make me happy. And so people are doing a lot of self-exploration. That's the positive thing about it, doing it in a positive way so that it's not hurtful to yourself or the other person is what people are struggling about in this very unusual time. So all the pressures. So people may be turning on the light and saying, I want to change my career. I want to get out of this relationship. I'm sick of this verbal abuse. I'm sick of not feeling loved. I'm sick of not feeling worthy. And that's a pivotal point for them. Then they need to move forward with that, but try to do that in the most supportive, respectful way, even though this is a pandemic of enormous nature. People say, when's the new normal? I'm like, what new normal? Mm-hmm. So if there's not gonna be new normal, what is this life you wanna create? So people are doing soul searching. Maybe they don't want to be alone anymore and they want to try to find somebody to partner with. But how do you find people during COVID? How is that safe to associate with people? Have they been tested? Who do they live with? So we're all feeling those pressures. But yeah, some things are getting exacerbated. So problems that exist are really not going away. And this is making them more heightened. Problems your kids were having. Your kid was having a problem, but you had a behavior specialist come into your home to work with them, right? They have ADHD, they might have dyslexia, they might have a learning disability, it may be more serious. There's nobody coming to your home anymore. So you're now 24/7, where's your support network? And that's why calling 1-855-427-2736, 12 hours a day. There's a trained, compassionate counselor on the other side, willing to help you. If you live in California, you can join one of our free online support groups. We'll talk to people in any language. You can text us. You can live chat us when we're open. You can, and that's even more private. And you can leave us a message or send us an email. We will try to reach back out to you. So we want people to not sit at home and feel like the weight of this. And the relationship may be your main issue. You're also a parent, you're a grandparent, you're parenting, your niece is living with you and you're thinking about breaking up with somebody you've been with for 10 years. Well, that's gonna affect anybody who's living with you and is a family issue. We're here for you. Grandma can call us because she's worried about her kids in Long Beach. You know, grandma who lives in Long Beach needs to call us. I mean, we'll work with anybody who calls us because we're here for you. And we wanna affirm that idea that asking for help is a sign of strength, because most people feel so beaten down in the relationship you just talked about, in their life, from their work. People are being called back to work. Is it safe? This is a big issue. Everybody can't work at home, but even offices are thinking about opening. Well, at the same time, you hear the Midwest is soaring their numbers. California hasn't flattened, and they're finding employers in LA because they haven't reported cases. So employers are not reporting cases and exposing all the employees. Did the employee say they were positive? Did they not? How often do you test? All these are questions. And the schools?
That's another issue.
If there is only online school, do you have an implement? Do you have Wi-Fi? Is your child young enough, able enough to learn online? How are they going to accommodate that? And is it going to be class starting at 8, ending at 2:30, 2:20, so the parent can work or figure it out? And who's going to watch their kids? Because their boss called them. You're up. You're on rotation today. You have to be in the office. My kids are not in live school. What do I do with a 7-year-old? What do I do with a 14-year-old? Do I put him in charge of the 7-year-old? Do I leave him alone? Is there any adult that can call him? My job is 45 minutes away. You know, traffic, it could be an hour. I mean, we're not around the corner. And so these things, expecting your kids to be in school, be in after school programs, be in daycare, be in summer camp. Well, what in New York? They posted these kids in Georgia and these kids in New York or Connecticut came back from summer camp. Positive, have to close it down. The teachers, the counselors, the staff, the students, I mean, the campers. What is there? Can you go to the community pool? Well, I don't think the community pool is open in most communities. And if it is, everybody's worried. Can you transmit this there? So the options are very limited, and moving through that is overwhelming in any way.
I think it's overwhelming for a lot of different people because there are so many questions. Just the list of questions that you asked is what people are going through. But I just want to go back, not just on our romantic relationships, but just our relationships, because we're talking about Parents Anonymous. We're talking about having a place to have someone to call and discuss these options with. And one of the expressions that I heard is do not make permanent decisions during temporary situations, you know, because sometimes as an individual, we get overwhelmed, we get stressed out, we just want it over, we want it done. You know what I mean? We want peace, yeah. We want quiet, we don't want to have to think about anything. Yes, that instant gratification. So not only do I not want to deal with what I'm going through, I don't want to deal with what my spouse is going through, I don't want to deal with what my kids are going through. And what I've also seen, especially in marriages, is that people have maybe subconsciously set up ways to be apart from each other. Like they enjoy the fact that the husband has a 1-hour commute each way. He's at work 10 hours a day. He comes home, eats his dinner, kisses his wife on the forehead and goes to sleep. But now these two individuals who spent so much time apart are being forced to spend that time together. So how do we know, how do we determine if this is a permanent situation or a temporary situation that can be resolved?
Well, I think sitting down and having that conversation about the relationship is really key. And maybe this is a pivotal point where each person has to say, what are they looking for in a relationship? Like you said, a relationship with a person, they weren't together all day long and things were okay. And now they're around each other all the time. Maybe little things are annoying them, but the big picture, what is it? What's your desire and goals in this relationship? And does the other person, are they on the same plane or willing to make the changes so that it's not about equality as much as having the same perspective or feeling to come together? So one person might say, I need to spend more time cuddling and doing other things that are romantic. The other person says, but I need my time alone. So how do you balance those things? You have to talk about them to begin with and define them. And they're changing, like you just said. Well, it's changing. He's around all the time. Boy, I didn't used to have him around all the time. Or she was out all the time. She's home all the time. And what's that? So little things are getting on people's nerves because you're just time and being around each other. Things you might have not noticed before. But I wanted to say something. If you feel you're in a dangerous situation and you put up with some kind of physical threat or extreme emotional abuse, this is the time to be safe. Okay, this is the time not to ignore that. Well, I'll just take that. He's just having a bad day. He lost his job. That's why he beat me up. It's like, no, there's no excuse for physical violence. There's a problem with physical violence. And that we have seen more calls to police for extreme forms of domestic violence. Okay, whether or not people are ready to leave or go to a safe place. The thing is, well, I live at home. I'm going to go to a shelter with a bunch of people who might have COVID. It's like people going to the emergency room. If you think you're having a heart attack, you need to go to the emergency room. No question. But people are afraid, oh, if I go to the emergency room, I'm going to get COVID from somebody else. But you can't be treated in America for an emergency like a heart attack or a stroke that you might think you have without going to emergency. We don't have, you can't go to the urgent care centers for that. And by the way, I don't think they're even open. So maybe they are in some communities, but you want to be very careful making those decisions. So figuring out, really writing a list and thinking about what in your heart and your head, and we're dominated by our heart and our head. I love this person. We've been together a long time. Okay. But can you redefine this relationship? Can you identify what your needs are and what supports you can give to the other person? Because somebody might need something you don't want to give them. Well, that is a major, like, what are we talking about? I want a bigger diamond ring. I want a bigger house. We're talking about emotionally, I need you to be there for me. What does that mean? I want to be able to talk about my feelings and not get criticized by you. I want to be listened to. I want to think that I'm the most important person in your life. And I haven't felt that way for years, but I put up with it, but now I'm not going to put up with it. So yes, slowing down and backing up and figuring out what is it you want and what is it you're willing to provide for the other person's wants. You may not be interested in that. They might decide they're into an open marriage, let's say. And you're like, no, I don't want an open marriage, or I want an open relationship. And the other person says, I do too. So there could be a good opportunity for positive change if both people agree. And if you don't agree, the idea is, can you work it out? Can you work it out? And there are mental health professionals who will work with people online and things like that, because face-to-face work is very difficult right now for everybody to be safe and to be clear that this person doesn't have the virus, and when were they tested, and what did they touch, and who were they around? God knows. So, I've seen patients over Zoom and over, you know, FaceTime and other things, because people felt they needed to be connected. And you may need a third person to help you. The good thing about the helpline, even if you're having a marital problem, is people love it, like especially the chat, because, well, first of all, it's not on my phone like a text is, and you don't have my phone number, and, you know, I just do it now and there's no record of it. Because a lot of people think, well, if I have private texts with people, like some of my kids going to look at my phone, do I not have a lock on it? Do I have to delete all that conversation? It's so personal. Well, people love the fact that there's a real human being, number one, Sharifa, but they also love the fact that somebody's really listening. Mm-hmm. Because maybe you can't tell your sister. Maybe you can't. Your mom thinks, well, I didn't think you should marry that person anyway, you know, or a friend is not really a great listener. Everybody could be a great friend, great mom, but maybe they're not great listeners, or you feel judged. And people will say, I put up with that bad relationship for years. And when it went south, my family didn't like him or her, and I didn't want to tell them about him or her. And they sank deeper instead of saying, look, right now, I don't need you to judge me for whatever I did in the past. Right now, I need your help now, because I'm going to make a move. I need to leave this person. And I don't know how many people told me, oh, I wouldn't tell my family that because they hated him anyway. Uh-huh. And they wouldn't support me. But you need to ask people for what you want. If you need support, I say try to define it, Sharifa. Some people are good listeners. Some people aren't. I need you not to judge me. I need you to support me. And this is what it looks like. Because a lot of people don't know what it looks like. Maybe they weren't supported by a lot of people. And they feel that everybody in their family criticized them. Or that's what you need to hear my two cents. And that's it. If that's not what the other person needs, the other person needs to stand up and say, look, what I need is this, you know, what I need is this. I mean, people just talk about racism, sexism, and classism. People are trying to say now, stand up. And you know what we stand up? What does everybody say? Oh, it's just a joke. It was nothing. Why are you overreacting? You're insulting that other person. They're not even acknowledging that you're saying I'm being anti-racist because this is a racist comment. They're saying, oh, you're overreacting. It's the same thing people have done, which is perpetuated not just institutional isms, but interpersonal problems that people just said, oh, let's just brush it off. Don't make a wave, you know, just walk away and, you know, just laugh when he talks about, you know, how cute you look or something that has a sexual innuendo to it, to a woman or a man, you know, oh, you're so good looking. If you say that to a man in the workplace, that's sexual harassment. It's not supposed to be tolerated. We have laws against that. People say, oh, I don't want to make a big deal. I don't want to be criticized. So all those things again, but in your personal relationships, you can surely say to people, well, you didn't need that before. You never asked me for that before. Well, the person is being defensive. So you want to give the rights to everybody in the relationship to say, what do you need? What do you want from me? What do I need? What do I want from you to feel fulfilled? Because a relationship is an exchange. It's not a one-way thing. You know, when I'm reading a book, I'm enjoying the book. It's a one-way experience. I either like the book or not. Maybe I like the author. Maybe I want to read the author. But it's not an interpersonal relationship. The relationship you're talking about was parents and children, adult children and parents, grandparents and children, and people in a love relationship. Married, not, doesn't matter. The gender, same, doesn't matter. Whatever that relationship is, even friendship you have to define sometimes. I'm sure you've had friends. You thought, well, can I be friends with this person anymore? Well, I've known them a long time. I put up with this and that with them, but you know, I've changed. I'm not the same person anymore. And I need something different from a friendship. And it can happen in any kind of relationship.
I agree. I had that experience a couple of months ago when I got into an argument with a friend or someone who I know, an acquaintance. And we didn't talk for some time, but part of my consideration in fixing and resolving that relationship issue was whether or not I really wanted this person as a friend moving forward, you know, because some of the things that she does, I was like, I don't want to repair it, because once we repair it, say our sorries, hug it out, then she's still going to be that person and go back to doing some of the same things that she always did. So I had to take a look at that in the relationship. We're friends now, but I also had to communicate some of the things. I said, okay, you know, let's work on these areas, because these are the things that I feel that you do that make our friendship very difficult. Now, I'll give you an example, just so we're on the same page, is she's a neighbor. And she's so excited by me. She, you know, loves being friends, that she always just pops up at my house. And I have to keep telling her continuously, please call before you show up. And she's like, okay, I will. Never does, you know? So it's like, I was like, okay, maybe I should just not be friends. That way she'll just look at my house, keep walking, and we won't have this problem. Because for me, you know, being a business consultant, a talk show host, I'm on live right now. I don't need someone showing up at the door. So these are some of the things that I take into consideration, just even with friendships.
Exactly. Well, what you just said is what I said, is you looked inside your heart and said, what's the thing I need this person to change for you? But they might not want to change. So in not a friendship, you know, or any relationship, somebody say, well, no, that's just the way I am. You have to accept me the way I am. And then you need to make that decision. Obviously, the deeper the kind of relationship, the more entwined you are with that person. They're a brother-in-law, they're a cousin, you know, they're your mate or whatever, versus a neighbor. But it could be a neighbor who you really depended on, who was there for you when you needed things. And you thought really highly of this person, but they have these quirks. The question is, are some of these things, are they not listening to you, what you need, Sharifa?
They're not.
And is it more than just bopping over uninvited and not letting you know? Or is that just the one thing? Because it sounds like that's like a personality type, and that maybe she takes liberties or he takes liberties in other ways without thinking about, well, what are the boundaries that you set?
Yes, you know? Absolutely. I think that's it. It's the boundaries, because she does that, but then she also plans all these little excursions, and she kind of tells me, this is what we're going to do on Saturday. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I'm like, okay, but I'm not a puppet. You know what I mean? I'm not a doll, baby. You can't just plan my life for me, you know, but it's so important to her. This is the kindness in my heart that sees that it's so important to her for her to have a friendship with me. She doesn't have a lot of friends. She's a little quirky, a little odd, you know. So because I'm her friend, she just wants to be around me. But I have to set those boundaries, because then my whole world is thrown into I don't even know what's the word for it, because she's just there all the time.
Right. And there, I mean, it sounds like those are kind of harmless things she does. Those are inconveniences. Those are, it's not with a mean-spirited thing where she's going to redo your wardrobe and tell you, you don't look right, or you shouldn't be doing this. I mean, there are people like that who want to control other people's lives. They're like, wait a minute. We got a boundary here. I'm me, you're you. And thanks a lot, but I don't need you to do this for me. So those kind of quirkiness you just described, her that, you know, she is maybe more lonely and needs to plan these things. And so you're thinking, well, how can I tell her? It's just not helpful in my life when you do that. Thank you for doing it, but it doesn't work for me. So I always say to people, make it about you. You know, make it about you. Sometimes I've said to people, I don't think I can help you, you know, and maybe I've given them direct feedback before, or, you know, this is not what I need right now. This is something's going on with me and I need to take a break. Oh, no, that's okay. Just make it about you. And then maybe stepping back from that relationship, whether it's a friendship or a deeper relationship or a longer friendship. I mean, we have childhood friends, right, that we might associate with, but hey, maybe we're not on the same page right now. We're thinking like, I'm sorting through my life. But then people feel very lonely right now. I found an old friend from high school on Facebook. It's like, great. And they're connecting with people in ways they weren't before. Maybe it doesn't seem terribly deep, but it reduces some of the isolation, because they're out searching for people that were important in their life at one time. And now they're just people in the universe who might be as lonely as them. So I think that loneliness factor is affecting us all in different ways and how people manifest. And some people who told me, well, I'm a total introvert and I just don't have many friends and I can't stand this COVID. I'm like, where are they going to go? But they said it. They want to make more friends. And they realized that even though they said they were an introvert, they still wanted to have more friends. So that's two different things. The fact that I'm an introvert and I still want to socialize with people, who am I going to socialize with? If I don't have friends, or I'm not part of a club or a walking group or a birding group or some knitting group or a book club or whatever. And people are doing that online. So I say to people, even if you don't have friends now, and they say, well, how can I make new friends? You know, I mean, we're all limited in who we do. Well, people walk down the street, these neighbors were commenting about a sign in our yard. And I said, well, where do you live? I've never even seen you before. What's your name? And my husband and I introduced them. And they've lived in the neighborhood longer than we have. And they live around the corner. And we got to meet people. And I should have said, you know what? We should maybe walk sometime together. Sometimes you have to take that extra step. You know, we're not inviting you into our home because nobody's coming into our home that we don't already live with, right? We're being more careful. We're older. But the same thing, you could just say to people, hey, it's great. You know, when do you usually walk in the evening? Maybe we can meet you at the corner. Again, reaching out to others, that simple gesture, whether it's smiling, helping somebody, waving to somebody, assisting your neighbor, like get some extra toilet paper and chalk it in their yard, you know, whatever. All wrapped up, fills our soul. There is absolute science that in the giving you get. And in the Parents Anonymous group, that's what happened. People reach out to one another, they share their experiences, and it makes them feel better automatically. Just like if I drop my groceries in front of you, what would you do?
I would pick them up. I would help you, be of service to you.
And how would that make you feel?
It would make me feel good to help you.
Even the smallest gesture makes you feel good first. Secondarily, I don't feel like an idiot now. Man, she's helped me with my groceries. I got some help here. And I got this nice person smiling back at me and I'm getting a secondary. But first and foremost, it makes you feel good. So it's the same thing when people say, oh, you wear a face covering to protect others from you. And people say, people don't understand that. They think, you know, they don't understand that. And that's why they're not doing it. It's like, it's a simple gesture that I'm saying to you that I am not going to expose you to my germs, my droplets, me. Okay. And I'm going to do that correctly. I'm not going to wear the mask down here or on my neck or pull it down when I'm in the store or expose the cashier or the person helping me in the store or anybody in the line. Just everybody follow the rules. You know, we would definitely put this thing down in 4 to 6 weeks, the scientists, if everybody kept a strict order about those four things. Wearing a face covering around others, only going out in groups of people you already live with, staying 6 feet apart, you know, and washing your hands over and over and over again, because you don't know what you touch. I mean, I'm the only one in my office, so I'm touching, right? But when I go outside and I come back in, I wash, you know, and just keep doing that so that you're not picking up anything and then, you know, rubbing your face. I think that reaching out, I mean, this is a time people are reaching out. They're, you know, the elderly neighbor, my neighbor's 97 years old. I was driving down the street and I said to his daughter, do you need anything? She said, oh yeah, toilet paper. And it happened that they had one, this is like a couple months ago, one pack. I got it for them. I felt so good. I rolled down my window and I threw it in her yard because, you know, she wasn't close to me. She was like at the front of the house. I said, don't you need to get near me? And I need to exercise. So I threw it over to her and she laughed and said, thanks. And made me feel good. Mm-hmm. We need things to make ourselves good. Why do you smile at people? You smile at people because we know smiling releases the endorphins in our brain and all these neurotransmitters. It has incredible benefit. Even though nobody smiles back, laugh is the same way. You fake laugh or true laugh, you have the same benefit in your brain.
I like that. I have to fake laugh and real laugh a lot more.
Even when you don't want to laugh, laugh. They've done plenty of scientific studies. They show people like funny things and they don't like it. And they just say, laugh anyway. And they measure these things about how they release the right neurons in our brain that help us survive this stuff, survive COVID, survive the whole worry and angst and meditation. I can't say enough about people meditating. It's the cheapest, most effective methodology. They've done studies where it actually changes the shape of your brain. It grows the gray matter in your brain, which reduces anxiety and worry and helps you make decisions. Well, it's free. You can find any app. You can sit there quietly and just breathe. I tell people all the time, when it adds up to 11 hours, you've hit this critical moment, just keep doing it. And people feel, oh, I feel calmer. I don't feel anything. Oh, I can't do it. My head chatters. Well, that's why we need to do it. What mm-hmm. you do is you focus on the chatter and you still breathe, because your brain doesn't turn off. People think only monks can do it, or really religious people. It's like, especially if your brain is going all the time like mine, when I sit down and focus on my breath or listen to an app, and you don't have to listen to an app, just breathe in through your mouth and out through your nose, set a timer, do it for 3 minutes and sit there quietly. Because when people lie down, they fall asleep. That's great, but doesn't count to the conscious meditation. It counts to going to sleep, which is important. And, put a pillow up, prop your back up, make sure you're comfortable, your feet are planted. That's all you need to know. You didn't need to go to college. You didn't need to go to 8-hour course. You can listen to any kind of music I suggest without words, so you're not singing, to Adele. Okay, that's what I would be doing. If I'm meditating, I'd listen to an instrumental music or the ocean or something. Because for me, I need to tune out stimulus, and it's much better. A lot of people, they want total silence. I'm not good in total silence for meditation. I won't hang there long enough to make effect. But those are simple things everybody can do. And you can teach kids to do it. We teach kids in every Parents Anonymous group. We open meditation. We have meditations for kids. We have monthly themes. People build community. I mean, we have first responders in Parents Anonymous groups saying, hey, I'm angry. I have to go to work, but I'm thankful I have a job. I worry every time I come home and take a shower. Am I going to expose my kid to something? And then my kids are acting up and they won't go to bed and I'm exhausted, and that is the day-to-day life we live today. And some people do not have support systems, have no other hand to hand this baby off to somebody to talk to that teenager. It's only that one mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or tia or, our uncle, and they need somebody else because it's too much. And people are out there on their own.
They may not know how to deal with it. I mean, especially parents. We talked a little bit about marriages and relationships and even friendships, but specifically being Parents Anonymous, I know a lot of parents were thrown for a loop. My children are 23 and 26. So I was just so grateful that this is not something that I had to endure, because I know for a fact that I'm that parent when they ask me about math or when they ask me about statistics, I'm like, you're going to have to Google that. You know what I mean? Like, I would be embarrassed with my child going back to school if I was the one left to help them with the homework, because I wouldn't be absolutely sure it was correct. But then when you're a parent, you're in the house all day, mainly a single parent, you're there, no assistance. Instead of having the kids for, the afternoon, they're there with you all day. You're trying to work, do your job in between answering questions from a four-year-old, it can be very stressful. And often as parents, we don't know that there is somewhere where we could call, especially when we kind of feel, as parents, we feel guilty. We feel like, I can't call anyone and worry them with my troubles. These are my problems, my child, and I used to have that distance from my child. Now it's 24 hours, 7 days a week for the last 4 months. And I don't feel like there's anyone I can talk to.
Well, that's exactly why they need to reach out to Parents Anonymous. First of all, parents need to realize that they cannot do it all. And in most states, in March to the end of the school year, just give it up in terms of whatever happens. Schools could not pivot, teachers couldn't pivot fast enough, and no could the families. Now it's summer and schools are starting to open. I mean, there's drive-through registration. Somebody called me today already. Why are they having drive-through? They can't do it online. And, that's in Northern California and some other school districts. And we're going to be in some town hall meetings. And please invite us. We'll go to any kind of town hall meetings to talk to parents. Parents are human beings first. We've got to deal with our own feelings. And that could be the struggle we have. One kid is very motivated, independent. One kid is not. Or another kid is just very clingy. We've seen young kids revert developmentally and don't want to leave their parents' side, want to sleep with them every night, want to go back to diapers or pull-ups, even though they've been potty trained and they're 4 and a half. So this effect You need to tune into those children. What is going on with them? So again, if they had any issues beforehand and don't have the supports, those things might be exacerbated. And parents need to cut themselves a break. You can't do everything. And even kids say, you know what? At least we have recess. At least we have breaks, mom and dad. Kind of because all these parents say, okay, we're going to run a school like this. And, you know, it's like, they couldn't, you know, this packet you pick up is 90 pages long and it's like math. Oh my God, I would just turn to my husband and say, you can do that one. You know, I used to be good in math, but not this new math. And also the frustration about arguing about homework and this and that. Everybody has to pull back, have a family meeting and start talking about what is the routine you want to have? Because the summer routine was different than the emergency routine. And now schools are supposed to be more rigorous. They're dropping off boxes at people's houses. They're drop shipping materials. They're making sure people have hotspots. School buses are coming into neighborhoods with hotspots. But do you have an implement? You know, they're talking about Head Start online, preschool online, and that they're going to shift and move to have all these curriculums where your kid's going to be sitting in front of a screen. Can your child do that? How old is your child? Age-wise and developmentally, what kinds of supports and how you need to communicate with the teacher? No matter what, you know, we had somebody in our family get really ill and die, and my son is taking it really badly, and we need to have some sensitivity here and how we can integrate him back, and he really misses his friends, and he really wants to hug you, you know, and he's in third grade, right? I'm just making up this story. And whatever that is, parents need to be strong advocates for their kids. Align yourself with the teacher. How can we work together? Because what happened between March, you know, and June was a mess. And now we have something different going on where in California, the governor keeps saying rigorous, rigorous, rigorous. And we're going to be giving everybody all these tools. And it's like, okay, well, what does that mean? The parents say, because my boss keeps calling me and I have a deadline today. So how do I balance that? Or they're asking me to come into work now on a rotating basis with three or four people securely in the office. Well, there's no daycare. There's nobody else to watch these children. So employers need to understand what the real parameters of that. And we need to set up systems where many healthcare first responders didn't even go home during the emergency. They put them in hotel rooms and would see their children on the phone for months on end. And what the impact is on those children is an emotional toll. There's no way. But talking about feelings is really important. Parents talking about their feelings, that they're concerned. We have a piece on our website about how to even talk about racism and prejudice. And the first thing is, what is your experience? You know, me as a woman, you as an African-American woman, what was your experience? What are your feelings about this? And for you to get in touch with those feelings and communicate it to your children. Even if they're young adults, you know, people are out in the world. There's all this stuff going on. There's a lot between the protests and the feelings that people have. They're rising up. What do they want to do with it? I was so worried, not about the protesting, but about people being in groups. And they were announcing, okay, anybody 15 minutes in a group, come on in for a test. And now testing is less available in the in Los Angeles County and other places because they've had such high demand. So we have this chicken or egg. Can people get tested? Are they going to be isolated? What are they going to do? How are they going to get into school? If a school opens, how are they going to come home, et cetera? We're in a new world. So focusing on your feelings, tuning into that child, listening to that child. You know, people said, oh, I just let them stay up really late. So they sleep in the morning so I get my work done. That made sense between March and June. That might make sense during the summer. But if the school's going to stay up and say, okay, 8 o'clock, they're signing on. You're like, oh my God, there's no more staying up late. So you need to shift gears. Y'all, that was summer. That was before. We need to have a meeting, have kids. What, asking people, what do you need? This is the simplest question I ask you. I don't know what people ask. What do you need? You know, well, I need to go back to school. Okay. School's going to be different. What do you need to make that good for you? I don't know. I just don't know. And sometimes kids are too young or they're too emotional or too upset. And the parent has to guide them through that. And parents need to say, here's what I need from you. I need you for very young kids. You know, parents, when your kids were little, we're going to have nap time. Okay. Well, we weren't all locked up together all the time, but parents are saying now we're having nap time. You know what? That's your private time. You get to be in your room, lie on the bed or play these games or whatever. Okay. And mom is having her quiet time. Dad is having his quiet time, and everybody's going to get the same thing. Wow, that's cool. So you can make it attractive to young kids, and older kids, you need to ask them, what do you need? I need to hang out with my friends all day long. Oh, really? And parents are worried. Who are the spreaders? 10 to 29. Who are the highest group? Now, you know, 19 to 39 are raging in numbers. So you need to know and tell your kids where we live. And it may be different in different communities around the country because you have a national, you know, on Facebook. People need to know that and share with the kids. You know, it's just not safe right now for kids your age. And, you know, and why can't I see grandma? I really want to hug grandma. Well, you know, we can't do that now. And I feel badly too. So what can we do instead? And people were making cards and signs and doing chalk parties and drawings on the sidewalks in front of their places. And some people are trying to grow a garden and do something really healthy and new. And they're YouTubing that, and they're calling a friend that. And people are pivoting and turning in amazement. And I believe in the resilience of humans. Mm-hmm. Resilience is not just about bouncing back. It's about having those strengths to go forward.
I believe that's beautiful. Even before COVID, I had a discussion with a friend of mine. This was years ago. And I always remember this story. We were having here in California, we have K through 12. We have the whole homeschool program. And I, you know, people have their own opinions. My personal opinions, I'm not a fan of homeschooling. And I was having this discussion with my friend who was homeschooling her son. I said, but what about the social aspect? It didn't seem like he was able to work well with other children. He never had that experience. So her son wound up being the valedictorian for his class. He comes up to the podium. They brought in all of the K through 12, you know, the graduating class. They brought him all in. He's in the auditorium full of people. He comes to the podium, starts to make his speech, looked around the audience, burst into tears, and ran off the stage. And I was like, that's my point right there. I mean, like, all those people just overwhelmed him. And that's the whole aspect of when, you know, people are isolated, then we've put them into the workforce. You know, now they have to work with people and they're not used to it. So in a much accelerated rate, I also saw that during COVID, talking to parents, speaking to parents to make sure that in somehow, some way, they have that social aspect. So they're not sitting in the room by themselves, locked up, on their phones or just playing on a computer, and that they still work and socialize with other people. Have you seen that to be true as well, Dr. Lisa?
Yes. And I think more so than before, people felt they had family and work, mm-hmm. family and work, and there was nothing in between for themselves. So just like you carved out time to go out with girlfriends or guy friends or couples or neighbors or whatever, you need to do that continuously, but in a different medium. A safe medium, because people are trying to have gatherings in groups. And every time they're reporting, whether it's a church and people are standing next to each other outside, or they're going to picnics in the park with families they don't live with, coming back and they're tested positive and they're spreading the disease, the virus. So yes, staying connected, but being safe is really important, because we can become more isolated. You know, it's so funny. We've had FaceTime forever, right? We've had Zoom forever. But people are Zooming you a lot more, aren't they? They're yes. saying, let's have a Zoom party. I had a Zoom birthday party for my husband's birthday. Didn't know anything about it. I made him come in here, and there's like, you know, a whole bunch of people on the street. What's going on? And, you know, and it was new for him. He hadn't been Zooming before either, except during COVID. Now, I like personal interaction. So I've been FaceTiming, Skyping people, WhatsApping. Our daughter lives in Guatemala, you know, whatever. I like to see people when I talk. I need to see people, but now everybody else needs it. So it's interesting. We're talking about different needs and different wants. Then people are saying, hey, how do I do that? I couldn't get on the Zoom thing. How can I do that? How can I set up another one? Why don't we do it every Friday night at, you know, 7 o'clock? We'll pretend we're having a Scrabble game. And people are playing games. People are playing Scrabble. They're playing games I never even heard of. I said, how did you find out about the game? Oh, you get it online. It's really easy. You can play this word game with their daughter who lives far away, but who they see maybe 3 times a year. And so they're interacting in new ways. And I think that's the good part, is that people are valuing human connection, even though it's so different. Instead of saying, oh, yeah, I'll talk to you next week. I'll see you next week. But I don't see you once a month. People are saying, no, I need to see you now. I need to see you on this. I need to talk to you. I need to feel connected. And I think everybody feels that way. People who said they didn't need it before realize what they need it now. And that's becoming community for them. That's becoming the family. People don't have children or whatever. This is their family, their friends, you know, and do it safely, you know, and really every area is quite different, but we know what the four things we need to do and we need to keep doing them.
And yes, I've seen that. I've experienced that. My brother lives in Australia and we would talk, you know, every few months, every now and then, you know, something came up, but during COVID, every weekend, once a week, we have a conversation. We talk, we, you know, what's going on in your world? What's going on in your world? And we had never done that before. And we still do it now. Every week we have a conversation, we get updates and it's a warm feeling. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like we should have been doing this all along. You know, my brother's been in Australia since 2005, you know, 15 years, but we didn't have this type of relationship. Now we make sure we stay in contact. We check on our parents. We look for more ways to stay connected than we ever did before. So it is a different time, but it's still beauty in knowing that there are people that we can connect to in other ways that we connect with people.
And that's why the online groups are so great, because you have a flat tire, you don't feel like brushing your hair, your kid might feel like a little sick and doesn't want to go out, it's raining outside, doesn't matter. You can still go to the Weekly Parents Anonymous group, build community, feel reduce social isolation, and reach out and help other people so you feel good. So this, there is a lot of advantages to this technology. That I don't have to spend gas, I don't have to drive at night, I'm too tired of this and that. As long as people are presentable, dressed and present, you know, and they could just be wearing a t-shirt and God knows what else, as long as nobody sees anything inappropriate and they're there and they're present for others, they can join the free weekly support group. And we're putting together groups for kids of different ages. Of course, mom and dad or one of them has to be in the room for a young child, because they can't take the crayon and stick it in their eyeball because we're on the screen. We cannot jump it through the screen and help you. You know, we're not present. An adult needs to be present or in the home for an older child, because anything, they trip, they fall, they bump their head, a fire breaks out. Well, there has to be an adult around, not the person on the screen. So that just sends another dimension. But people are so grateful when they do reach out and they feel somebody's listening to them. We call people back and they said, "You're really checking on me?" People aren't sure who cares about them during a crisis and who's real. And that's where relationships get really reevaluated, like you're saying. Is there anybody real for me? Has I accepted all this stuff from friends and family? And it's not for me. It didn't really feed my soul. It was just like, well, I had to. Well, now I'm reexamining all that and I feel alone. That's the time to pick up the phone and call and talk about things and keep calling. If it's not us, somebody else. And if you call once, call again. We don't turn you down. And if your kids are a little older, we don't say, hang up the phone. If you're calling about being a parent, even to a 22-year-old, we don't say, see you later. We're here for everybody. And young people, you can, you know, parents have said, you know, you keep complaining, I'm dialing the number for you. And 40 minutes later, the kid comes in and says, oh, mom, I'm sorry. And the mom goes, well, how'd it go? Well, I feel much better. I don't want to talk about it. It's private. And they should have their privacy, you know, and they should feel that there's somebody, even at that moment, they could call, because you can't make an appointment and get in fast enough somewhere. And so many places are closed and services aren't there. And so many low-income families, where's the free lunch? Where's the transportation that's safe? Where are the enough tablets and internet and things like that? It's not available for people who have economic challenges. It's not there.
Well, at least you are there. I just applaud you. We have to get some more Wi-Fi across the nation, get some more assistance, get some more help. But like I said, at least you are there. Your organization, Parents Anonymous, and just you are helping the community. And sometimes it's just one person making a difference in the world. And one of the things that I always say on all my talk shows is that change starts with the conversation. So it starts with that very first phone call to you and your organization. Now, Dr. Lisa, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. So I'll give you a few minutes. Did I lose you, Dr. Lisa?
Thank you.
Did you, okay, do you have, what do you want people to take away from your interview?
I can't hear you at all.
Okay, so you can't hear me. Okay, so we might have to try something else.
You're doing the ending of your show.
Yes. Just going to type that right there. That's how you solve that problem. So while Dr. Lisa reads the message, everyone go ahead and share the show. You ready for us, Dr. Lisa?
Asking for help is a sign of strength. Please call 1-855-427-2736. 12 hours a day. And in California, you can live chat with us through our website, caparentyouthhelpline.org, or you can text us at the same number that I just gave you for calling, or send us an email. All that information is on our website. There's also more information. And we believe in the resiliency of parents, children, and youth. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to thank you for being a guest on today's episode of Ask Sharifa Videocast and Podcast. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. We definitely appreciate your support. Please go ahead and support our guests. If you need assistance, visit and call Parents Anonymous. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at AskSharifa.com. Until next time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.